The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres.
I'm Mark. What's up, Mark?
With me in the studio, I have Hassan Goblin.
I said hello.
Already, who said hello. And back from Parts Beyond, we have Charlie Saladino back in the station.
Yes, and those Parts Beyond were extraordinary.
So from the extraordinary Parts Beyond.
The greatest, yes. The greatest Parts of Beyond I've ever been to.
Yes. Yes, and I've come to a conclusion that the greatest parts are from Beyond.
The question is, from beyond what? So if anybody has any trouble listening to us online,
go ahead.
If you have trouble listening to us on the radio, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on our live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us on high definition web camera right now.
I'm so live. Well, it's not funny.
They can be engrossed in the entire experience of the radio show. Instead of just listening to us, they can watch us as well.
They could see us, which is extraordinary.
From Parts Beyond. And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811.
A lot of eights.
So, but there aren't eight of them.
Take it easy with the H.
Yes. So, let's see. Let me just take
What's in the news? Take it away with the news.
Take it away with the news.
Let's see.
Nope. That's not interesting.
I'll say that.
Not yet. Nothing's interesting yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Nope.
Oh, it's always a...
Come on. Read us something a suit said. Where? I love the... This is just the greatest thing.
And do your executive
voice. Yeah, this is the most magnificent thing that we've done since the last magnificent thing we did, which turned out to not be as magnificent as this magnificent thing, which is more magnificent than the last 10 magnificent things anybody's ever magnificently done.
That sounds just like what I was going to say. So that's it for the news.
All right. Excellent.
We strive for magnificing ourselves every time.
As we know, The Dark Knight Rises is coming out this week.
That's magnificent.
And for those who are more privileged than us, there have been people who have already seen the movie, and the reviews are coming in.
So, and David Letterman gave away the end of the movie.
So he says.
And I haven't even heard what he said.
He keeps on rubbing all the guests with his... quote unquote ending.
I haven't even heard what his supposed ending is, so I don't even want to hear anything. I'm going to keep it as
an extravaganza. Yes.
But as people do review movies now, immediately it's going to be online. So from the movie review website Rotten Tomatoes, some of the first reviews are coming in. And it
what
seems
are they saying?
That some of the negative reviewers, the reviewers who are saying negative things about the movie, which aren't that many this time around. They've been met with death threats.
Oh, what?
My God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I hope I hate this movie. Oh, God. We're going to go toe-to-toe with the naysayers. I'm going to go toe-to-toe with the haters.
So the executives say...
death threats.
I knew full well when the first negative review came in, the reviewer would get pasted in the comments. And as expected, we saw mountains... of comments to come, so much so that we are now policing the responses due to death threats.
Wow, get a life, folks. Seriously.
So people want to kill
it's a movie.
A person who's saying negative things about the movie.
So he's not allowed to not like it.
Yes.
Or he's allowed to not like it. He just can't say anything about it to anybody, right? Yeah. Because then he could be killed. Yeah. You know what? I so wish that one of these jerks would step to me because I said something negative about a movie that they liked. I wish that fool, and I will say it out loud, that fool would pay disproportionately for the last 15 years of my life and what I would dole out to that idiot who tried to do something negative to me because I had the nerve to not like a movie that he hadn't even seen yet.
Exactly.
Doesn't even matter. Yeah. See it yet. It could be his movie. He could have seen the movie. It could be a religious experience for him. I'm actually hoping that this happens. I'll be in jail. I'll literally be in jail hours later. Because of what will happen to that fool, because he had the nerve to put his hands even in within the vicinity of touching me because I said something about a movie that he loved. Please, everybody, the world is a cesspool. Everything has gone wrong. There are wars happening. There's famine. There are more important things than whether or not you think The Dark Knight Rises is a great movie. I'm already sickened. The show just started, and I'm already sickened.
Wow.
This is the most disgusting.
All right. How do you really feel about that?
No,
like, I'm
please.
Looking at him. He looks like that cartoon where the thermometer goes right to the top. And then it
burns. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yet? It's like
that death threat. I wish you would threaten my life because of the dark. Oh, please let this happen to me once. I was, oh, my God.
Imagine that.
That would be like a holiday for me.
Imagine that coming out of the movie. Hey, Ralph, what did you think of that movie? I thought it sucked.
Yeah, what the?
Now look at you. You're dead now. Yeah. You're dead now.
How
you're
much does it suck now? Does it suck as much as being dead? I don't think so.
Look at you now. You're stupid. You're dead.
You're on the floor and you're dead.
You're dead.
Man. I didn't think there'd be so much anger coming out of the news.
Come on.
Because
give me
it's
a
idiotic.
Break.
It's a movie. Maybe. Come on.
Right. Charlie is absolutely right. It's a movie.
It's a movie.
Grow the bleep up, man.
Yeah.
Grow up. You know, first of all these people in the blogosphere, the haters. First of all, why are you hating on a movie that just came out? Just because you want to be the first to drop the hate bomb on it? Okay, that's A. So then you come out with your vitriol. Crap. Right?
There are people who just want to be the first to be different.
They'll do that. They'll be like first on the right, commentary, right?
I don't know. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. You don't like this movie, now you're dead. Yeah. You're dead. Chico, go kill him. He's dead. He don't want bad memories. That's how insane it is. Say hello to my little friend.
I so wish. Oh, my goodness. I so wish. I so wish. I can't even tell you. Please.
Oh, my God.
Please, let's move on. What else is in the news?
God, I haven't heard him this excited since we mentioned Richard Bay.
Who's Richard Bay?
Michael Bay.
Wouldn't that be perfect if Richard Bay came up to you and threatened
told
you?
Told me that. Yeah, yeah. You didn't like The Dark Knight? I'm gonna kill you. I'm going to blow you up with my awesome kitty.
Speaking of movie news,
Mr. Segway.
No.
In Marvel movie news, it was announced at the San Diego Comic-Con that there will be a Guardians of the Galaxy movie featuring characters such as Rocket Raccoon and Drax the Destroyer, just to name a few.
You know,
also a turn. Oh, you got something?
It's about time the galaxy has some Guardians. Just a thought. Go on.
Captain America 2, it will be now called The Winter Soldier, which hints that it will cover the story from the comics of the Winter Soldier storyline, from which Bucky comes back from the dead. And Thor 2, which is currently filming, is called The Dark World. And there will be an Ant-Man movie is finally moving forward. So there are going to be tons of Marvel movies coming out in the foreseeable future.
Very interesting.
Yay. Wow, such a passion after what we just had.
What am I supposed to say about it? You know, we just had a conversation about like judging things that are either good or bad before they even happen. These things aren't even, you know, these things are just at the development stage. They're just being announced with titles. So like, how exciting am I supposed to get about that?
Well, speaking from stuff about the development stage,
Mr. Segway.
From the It Was Bound to Happen department, Disney has finally announced that they're going to have their first Marvel-Disney crossover. The Avengers are going to be teaming up
with the Amazing Pluto?
The cartoon characters Phineas and Ferb for the summer of 2013. So it's going to be one whole year before they come up with
who's
this.
The crossover cartoons?
The Avengers and Phineas and Ferb. Phineas and Ferb are two characters that have wacky adventures, and they have a superhero theme in a couple episodes.
You know what? I'm going to put this out there right now, and I hope I don't get any threats, but I'm going to put this out there.
I hope someone does threaten us.
Yeah, seriously. I just hate Disney. There you go.
But we knew that before.
Hey.
Yeah.
What's the problem with you hating Disney over there?
Hey, yeah, you don't like Disney.
You don't need to hate Disney. Yeah. Disney doesn't need you hating on it, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, Disney is your benevolent organization.
I boycotted Disney, and their stock went down like 8%.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? They'll laugh at people like me. Yeah.
I hate Disney.
I hate Disney.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I hate it too.
Yeah.
So, hey, Harry, pull the rolls around.
Speaking of Disney.
Mr. Segway.
Turns out that Walt Disney Studios and Pixar announced that Andrew Stanton, the director of the John Carter movie, would now be
turned. Now just killed himself.
He's on the breadline.
Man. He will now return to his animation roots with Pixar.
Yes, he
his
will.
Tail between his legs.
He failed on his reality roots.
Working on a sequel to the movie.
To John Carter. I'm not giving it up. I'm making another one.
That's what he's going to say defiantly on the roof before they push him over. Is that what
I'll animate it, damn it.
Yes.
It has to be better.
So there's going to be
It's called Unemployment 2. Electric Boogaloo. This time it's personal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The search for more money. The search for reconciliation.
So he's going.
Although I like John Carter, I mean,
it was considered to be such a colossal flop that it's like a joke.
The first,
which is very funny because Spider-Man, they're talking about Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man is about to top out at about $200 million, okay, which is about $200 million less than the worst of the three Spider-Men that came before it.
Yes.
And they're still considering it a huge hit.
Yes.
How is it a huge hit? It made less than supposedly the worst of the reboots, meaning it didn't come in close to the...
I actually have the answer to that one.
Oh, okay. Because they lowered their expectations.
That's exactly right.
Ah, you know why when they lowered their expectations? When they watched the movie and they decided it's not going to make any money.
This is exactly what happened with the Incredible Hulk movies. The first movie made more money than the second movie, but the second movie was considered a success, while the first movie was considered a flop because the expectations were so high for the first one.
Then it's the same as the oil industry. It's speculation fever. So basically, a $100 million movie that will cost about $100 million to make is considered a hit, even though it only broke even and it didn't make a profit. Because they didn't expect it to break even.
Right. If they were going to come out with, let's say...
So let that be a lesson to you, everyone. All you have to do in life is just keep lowering your expectations and you'll never be upset.
Let's say that's a Green Lantern.
That's what I aim low. I aim low and I'm never disappointed.
Yeah.
Right, Trev? You could aim low, you're never disappointed.
If you remember,
there you go.
Green Lantern was going to be considered a huge
failure. I don't remember anything about Green Lantern.
I remember falling asleep and not missing anything. That was the most amazing thing.
It was coming out and then all the early reviews came in and everybody was like, this is going to be a flop. Had it had just broke even, would have been considered a success. So it's just that's how movie logic
No, was. It's not. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. It was a huge risk and a gamble and they expected it to be a mega hit. Now, for whatever reason, I think partially because of
poor editing.
No. I wasn't even going to get to that. I was partially because of the Avengers, right? But then again, because the film is at best mediocre. It's at best a mediocre carbon copy of the first film.
Right.
All right. There is a little there's a little less campiness and a little less fanfare to how it is displayed. It is a little grittier and darker, which seems to be the key word for everything these days. But it's pretty much almost scene for scene the same movie, you know, if you take it sequence by sequence. And I view it, unfortunately, this is just my personal view, so everybody else, you know, out there, take it with a grain of salt. I see it as a very substantial perpetration by the studios to just
churn out
an unmanufactured hit. So I'm fairly satisfied that it is not as interstellar as its predecessors were considered to be. But the fact that they're now just going to decide, well, no, it's a hit, even though it didn't even break half what the worst of the last movies. I think that's not true, because if it goes 200 million, I think the third Spider-Man made a little over 350 million. So
still, your point is valid.
Yeah, it didn't come close to breaking even with the worst one.
Right.
And everyone said that movie was the reason that it needed a reboot. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So if your reboot doesn't make half as much as the movie that supposedly inspired the reboot, then that was a failure. If I had done something and everyone said this is terrible, you've surpassed yourself in how horrible that you can be, and so I said, okay, well, I'll redo it, and whatever I've redone is like
inferior.
It has half the worth and value of the thing I had done before. No one would congratulate me on that. No one would say, Hassan, we thought you had lost your way with that last piece of filth that you produced, but this one far inferior to that last piece, yet justified, completely justified in what you did.
So,
we love it. We love it. You're great.
An exploding car. A car just exploded. And then you make one that doesn't explode as much quickly.
Yeah,
it's a success.
It's a slow burn. It just catches fire. It's like, yeah, this is great. That's fantastic. You've done a well done.
Good
You've
job.
Done a great job.
It's like those snakes you buy and you go, pss, they just go, pss. Don't explode. It just, pss.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That was much better than the one that blew up and
less
blinded
noise.
Everyone.
Last one hurt my ears.
So, I just lowered my expectations. I didn't want it to explode at half as much, and now I'm satisfied.
Yes.
I'm going to do that from now on. From now on, I'm lowering my expectations for everything.
I'm telling you, it's the way to go. I've been doing
it for
years.
That's the only way I'm going to do it. Just lower my expectations.
So speaking of lowered expectations.
I don't even have expectations as to what you're about to do.
So speaking of lowered expectations, he's going to come on after the break.
Okay.
So after lowered expectations, if you remember, we mentioned that
I have no expectation of what you're about to say.
We mentioned that that there was a Avengers sense,
right?
You can put like a smell like Avengers and whatnot, the Hulk and Black Widow.
Yeah, because that's what you'd want to do. You'd want to smell like the Hulk
and Black Widow. So now
I don't even. Why would I want to smell like the Black Widow?
Because
no.
It turns out
I can lower my expectations only, but so much. There's still a standard.
Instead of being an Avenger. You can now, there's a new company from Connecticut that makes new scents based on video game characters. So now you can smell like Mega Man's Cool Rush. So you can play a video game character and smell like a video game character. The executive say.
How do you know what a video game character smells like?
Well,
I was just
this is
say,
what the executives say. We really want gamers to know that we are making a fragrance that is an experience of who that character is. We're not saying this is what the Mega Man robot would smell like.
Oh, Lord.
This is a fragrance that expresses him.
What?
Oh, my God. See, this is a guy who needs a Louisville Slugger imprint on his head. Seriously.
How much violence.
Well, he didn't even say, he admitted in his press release
that it doesn't even smell like
the character.
It doesn't smell like oil.
That if you believe, yes,
the
then there's a little picture of the bridge, right, with the price ticker, on it, $100, $150. You could have this bridge.
Yeah, you know what?
Smell this fragrance and buy this
what?
Bridge.
It's the experience. This smelled like one of the rooms the robot went in. That when he was fighting this battle, this is what the room smelled
one
like.
Of the digital rooms that don't actually exist in reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Man.
Good that God. You got to get better news.
You got to get something that
you
smells
You got to get
like,
the better news,
you
man.
You got to get something that smells like burnt wires. And then
that's what it smells like.
Yeah.
That's why I've been playing my computer too long and it burns out. That's what I know video games smell like.
Computer room with all the hard drives. That's the smell.
Yeah, that's... Ugh.
God.
All right, so
who died?
It's not we just know you're just reporting the news, Mark.
Yeah, it's not your fault,
it's not your fault.
So but don't have so much invested in the news.
Lower
you
your
look
expectations.
So, you look depressed. You look so depressed.
All right, so moving along.
Who died?
Move along.
At the San Diego Comic-Con, it was announced, as we mentioned here on the show,
that someone got stabbed in the eye with a pen.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which is their Avengers cartoon that's out now.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Would not be canceled after all in favor of the new Avengers
Earth's
Assemble.
Less Mightiest Heroes, because we've lowered our expectations.
That's going to be a more movie-friendly. It's not going to be canceled. So as opposed to it being canceled and then making a new one, they're going to segue from one show into the other. The executives say,
here we go.
We're going to transition out just the same way we do in comics.
Look, we realize that the movie's made a boatload of money, and a buttload of money, and we want to get a piece of that buttload of money. So we have this already existing product that was probably good in its own merit, but it's not making the projected expectations that we have. So we're going to sit down and retool everything to look just like the movie so we can get some of that buttload of money.
But it's a transition, as it is in comics.
Yeah.
So Avengers Assemble, which is a new cartoon, will be a continuation of Earth's Mightiest Heroes in the same continuity, just with a creative change and a brand new direction.
Yeah, brand new direction, brand new artists, brand new characters, brand new voices.
Mm. That's what they do
new
in
scripts.
Comics. New
scripts.
I'm going to create a new superhero. Lower expectation. He goes, he sees a bank robbery in place, but he goes, oh, I got to take a nap.
But if I didn't expect to thwart this bank robably, then
I should go
my
stop
day's pretty
that,
good.
He could team up with Electrolyte. Remember Electrolyte and the Purveyors of Justice?
Yes.
And
I'm going to pay the guy. I'm going to call our friends. I want that as a superhero. Lower expectation.
We should get Pat Riley back on here. That was a great guy.
These are the darkest days there ever been.
All righty, so
I hope the world does end in December.
Finally, before we get to the
sad
news.
That's when it's supposed to end in
December.
December 21st.
Good, then I can't buy Christmas gifts. That's great.
It's the 21st. That's the problem. So you can't wait until the 21st and not buy anything, and then the world is still here on the 22nd. Now you got to go out and scramble.
I'm just going to keep the receipts.
You're going to get your money back? You can't take it with you, Charlie. Yeah. It just won't happen. You can give presents out to everybody else online with you in purgatory. There's going to be a bunch of us up there. It's going to be
online
a rush.
Online in purgatory?
Uh-huh, yeah.
In Comic-Con news.
Oh, goody.
There was an interview done by Kevin Eastman, creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So why did they sell?
He spoke about this new upcoming Michael Bay movie. He says, I know that Michael...
I made a buttload of money, so I got nothing bad to say about any of this.
I know that Michael and his group really liked the shortening of the name, and that Paramount was supportive of that. So I think it's great.
Because they paid me.
Yeah,
this thing I created from the ground up in my basement that made me a millionaire is now being crapped on by these other ready-made millionaires. But I'm all for it
because
I cashed in already.
Billionaire. That's mm-hmm. what.
Well, he has his reasoning.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Wait a minute, here's the reasoning.
His reasoning is, I have lowered my expectations, and now I just want to check.
Right.
I just want to...
He says...
Before you do that, that's perfect. Yes, he lowered his expectations, and he got a crap load of money out of it.
As we should.
There's something in this. That's what we learned today.
My expectations of your statement that you're about to read is so low that I almost don't want to hear it.
But when he reads it, it'll be good.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure. Well,
Kevin says, I grew up reading Captain America and the Avengers and all that stuff. And over the course of the comic book history, Avengers has been around, and many times it has been reinvented, reformatted, restructured, and replatformed. From what I've seen, it's easily the best turtle movie yet. And we're talking about Raid the Redemption style fight scenes. And we're talking about epic Rise of the Planet of the Apes sort of effects. So why can't this be a good movie as well?
Because he took the concept away. He crapped on the concept just because he wanted to change the title.
It might still have.
It doesn't matter. Of course. Of course it still could be great. It could always be great. But you know what?
It's not going to.
No, I'm just it's first of all, it's Michael Bay, so of course it's not going to be great. But like, look, it's the name of a thing is its identity.
Right.
You're going to change the name of a thing because you never liked it or whatever. That you're gonna, so you display that arrogance in the first place. Huh?
It's not hip and cool.
It's arrogance in the first place because you've decided to come along 30 years after the thing has been invented and say, I'm going to change this. And then you get a backlash and everybody's like, well, we don't want you to change it. We'd like it the way it is. And then you tell everybody who have been with it, the fan base basically, that justify you making it in the first place because there's already active buzz out there, that they're wrong, that they're idiots, and they don't deserve, you know, a guy as great as you to be making this in the first place.
Yep.
I mean, it's all wrong-headed from the start. So the heck with it. You know, the thing is that the fools are going to be the people who go to see it, because when it does come out and make its $400 million or whatever, then they get what they deserve. So I no longer defend those people because I have lowered my expectations. In fact, I never even had expectations of the people. The heck with the people. Whenever I speak, I never speak for the people. The people could wipe my nose for as far as I'm concerned. Man. All right? But the problem is the grandiose problem is that you've taken the essence of the thing, because what made it great in the first place was the name. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. When you were a kid, you were like, what the heck is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? That's what made it special from the start. If they had given it any other kind of name, it wouldn't have gotten the recognition it got.
That's true.
So the first thing you do when you're going to make your $100 billion, multi-million dollar version of it is change the thing that made it exceptional in the first place, which is what they always do. They take whatever exceptional quality anything has, and they break it down to its barest form, and make it so it's completely inconsequential to everything else that's going on. And they razzle dazzle you with laser light show, and they hope that you are so dumbfounded that you come back over and over and over and again, and keep pumping quarters into the machine so that you could, you know, maybe get that experience back again. And then by the time you realize you've gotten a product with absolutely no substance and you haven't been nourished, it's too late. The movie's made its money, justified the 10 sequels that are coming after it, and you just have to eat it. So to BS.
Man.
Move on. Sounds who died?
Stupid. Well, just,
who's dead?
Just for the people who don't know, what is the new title of the movie?
Is it Ninja Turtles, I believe it's called now?
Ninja Turtles.
It's not even teenagers.
Who cares?
Ninja
they're not
Turtles.
Even teenagers anymore.
No, they're just Ninja Turtles.
They're middle-aged Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles from outer space.
Older,
they're not even from the planet Earth. They're from outer space. So going
what makes
on
them special?
Well, they're green. I don't know. Kevin Eastman said it was cool.
Yeah. Kevin Eastman's a sellout.
They gave him money. Here's $1 million and a turkey. Go.
And a turkey.
You know.
So now
he broke it down a turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
He didn't even get a whole turkey. They had a ready-made sandwich. Lower your expectations. It's not a turkey. It's a turkey sandwich.
Just plain turkey. No
lower your expectations.
Yeah.
So from the sad news. Sage Moonblood Stallone, son of Sylvester Stallone, was found unresponsive in his Los Angeles home on Friday. The death was cause of death was not clear. According to police, no suicide note was found. However, there were prescription bottles recovered from the home. Autopsies will be performed in the next few days, and it will take up to several weeks before the toxicology tests are done. Sage appeared in movies such as Daylight with Sylvester Stallone, where they blew up the tunnel.
Yeah.
And he played Rocky's son in Rocky 5.
Five. Yeah.
Oh,
and also in 1996, Sage Stallone and veteran film editor Bob Murawski co-founded Grindhouse Releasing, a company dedicated to preserving and promoting the B-movies and exploitation films of the 70s and 80s. And
okay.
He was 36.
I have to say something about this, and my sympathy goes out to the family. But, guys, you know, Sly and the wife, there was a lot of red flags on this kid. There was a lot of, first of all, he would tell the maid, don't come in my room ever. Don't ever come in my room. Don't wake me up. Don't talk to me. He was a hermit. So the only reason that maid went into the room was because they haven't heard from him for a while. And when she went into the room, the stench was amazing.
If you're a parent,
and
was he still living at home with, or he
no,
had his
no,
own
no,
place?
No, 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 but I'm just saying. But you have a son, and you he's like, you know, I'm going to put myself in the room. I don't want to hear from anybody. Don't you think it's about time to, like, get a doctor in there or get a therapist in there or something like that? I know. One day I was in a mood for 2 days. I was in my room. My mother called my uncle in. They almost beat the crap out of me. Get out of the room, you know?
But that could be construed as a slight overreaction, though, on their part.
Yeah, but I mean, for 2 days, for, you know.
Yeah, if that's not your normal behavior, then that's
right.
Gonna...
But I mean, this guy was like, with the maid, don't come, do the whole, clean the whole house, never enter my room, blah, blah, blah. There was beer cans all over the place. There was a drawer full of prescription drug things, you know. I mean, there was a lot of red flags with him. It's like, you know, I feel bad. And by the way, Celeste Holmes died. Celeste Holmes was a wonderful actress, and she got an Emmy, an Academy Award for Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that just happened yesterday.
Oh. How old was she?
I don't know, but she was up there. She was, she had a great film career and, you know, stuff like that. Hmm. One of the good ones.
So with that, we're ready for our break there, Trevor. We'll be right back for King of the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
I want a gal with a lot of dough. When I find her, we're gonna swing up to the preacher with a wedding ring. Tell me where she is, cause I don't know. So eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I've been looking all over town, but so far she ain't been around. Someday I'll meet her, and then I'll say, shoo-bidoo, baby, we're on our way. Hurry up now and follow me, but don't forget to bring your do-re-mi. Anytime you're feeling sad or blue, you just call me baby and I'll run to you. But if you ever leave me, you're gonna pay $50 alimony every day. So I'll be yours from this day on, but only till your money's gone. Rich girls sure are hard to find, but I'll keep looking till I lose my mind. She's bound to show up eventually, then I'll be rolling in security. But where she's hiding, I don't know. So eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we're back with the Camp and Radio. Your host, Morator, speaking along with Hassan Godwin,
yeah,
and Charles
Aldino,
who went back to Parts Unknown.
Yeah, he vanished.
On the webcam.
And he's gone.
So this week, we have a special guest. We haven't had a guest in a while, actually. And this one...
they just haven't been special.
Oh, that's right. This is an extra special guest calling in from Parts Unknown. He's calling in from Parts Unknown. It's Dan Melnick, a creator of the comic book character Nod. Say hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
There you go. How's it going?
Doing well.
So, Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself to our fans, and we'll take it from there.
I am a self-publisher for comic books. I basically write everything, come up with the ideas and the characters and scripts and all that stuff, and then find people willing to work with me to make the projects, real. And then since we're doing it as like a passion in our free time, where it's stuff we care about. We do a couple different series. The thing you talked about, Nod, is about a guy who discovers he doesn't have to sleep anymore at night. It's more of like a medical condition than any sort of superpower. Leads to some vigilantism, because who doesn't like a superhero? And then the idea is sort of the longer he stays awake, the further he falls into the nightmare of the city, kind of like in the man who can't sleep still dream sort of situation. We do a lighthearted webcomic loosely based on that. It's sort of like if this character existed in real life, let's make him kind of ridiculous, make him sort of like the Tick, that old comic character, make him take himself way too seriously. But we do it, well, the first one is kind of dark and scary. This one is definitely for the kids, and it's like we like the concept, and we just kind of go from there. So it's, you know, those are the main two projects going on. We have other things in the works, and we'll just see where it goes from here.
So why is you decided to do two different takes on the same character, one lighthearted and one quote-unquote dark and gritty?
Sure. Well, honestly, I'd love to tell you that it was like a management decision, but really it's because this is a long story, but originally for Nod, the original proper series, I had people lined up to draw it and color it and do all that stuff, and then that fell through right when I was going to have this big debut for the comic in Chicago. And so I had the table reserved, I put the money down, I had all the stuff drawn up, like, hey, here's this comic book, and then the thing doesn't exist. So I go to the convention, and then in the hopes of looking for artists. And I met this kid, Brandon Santiago, who comes up to me with a sample of the character who's interested in drawing it, and I took one look at it, loved it immediately. It was this very cartoony version. I told him to his face, I'm like, look, I love what you do, it's just not right for this project, but we should do something together. And honestly, the way he drew the character made me think of Batman, the animated series. And the name has sort of stuck with me. And I was like, you know what? I think we need to make a webcomic. And now we do. We work with Brandon all the time. And we have a new issue that comes out. We put it on our website every Monday.
So that's a little hopefulness for all the talent out there, that you can actually get something done with the way you draw your own characters, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say, even though it's like the concept was mine and I was there looking for an artist, the way he draws it is 100% him. I mean, I tell him, you know, draw the most ridiculous thing I can think of, like a half-robotic evil dinosaur or something, and then when he turns it in, it's got his style all over it. And it's just, by this point, I like what he draws so much, I basically ask him, like, what do you want to draw? What do you like to do? And then we work it into the script, because that's just kind of how the relationship works.
So when you're doing the two different stories, do you use characters at all from interchangeable, or is it just one's a separate entity and the other one's a separate?
They're two different animals. I mean, in Nod proper, he takes off his mask, he has a wife and a little girl at home. Like, he's a character. His name is Hank Stenson. I mean, it's the whole thing exploring his world, his life. In the animated series, he's never even given a name. The character sort of, I don't even think they ever really refer to him in the Nod issues, but we sort of dub him the Night Guard because he gets a job as the night security guard to make a little extra money. Since he doesn't have to sleep at night, he figures he might as well stay out and do, you know, some good with it. And then that's what, you know, turns into the vigilante thing. But basically, I don't think they refer to him as the Night Guard. So then in the animated series, that's all they call him. He never takes his mask off. I mean, there's a scene where he goes to sleep and he still wears it. He wears it when he brushes his teeth. It's just, he's just the Night Guard. And it's just sort of like a ridiculous version of himself.
So where did you get the idea for this comic idea? Where in the world does you think of, let me do a comic about a superhero with no superhero powers that really doesn't have any powers at all. It's not even like he's a millionaire. He's just some guy who can't sleep.
You know, I've been reading comics my whole life, and I'm sure everyone has, you know, the one or two great characters they think of, like, oh, man, if I could write comics, this is what I would do. This is my take. And I started to realize that everything I thought of was basically done, more or less. I mean, any kind of character I come up with is exists in one form or another. It's like, oh, this is just a knockoff of Superman. Oh, this is just Batman. Oh, this is whatever. So I started thinking of what would be a really original power. And then that coupled with, I used to have this long, stupid conversation with a friend of mine back home where I used to tell him if I didn't have to sleep at night, I would be so much more productive. Because the way I saw it is you literally waste a third of your life sleeping. Sure, it feels good to sleep because otherwise you never do it, and you know your body needs it. But if you didn't have to sleep, you'd have 8 more hours in your day. And I started thinking, what would you do with that? If you had 8 more hours more than anyone else, what would you do with that time? And I just sort of kind of combined the ideas. It's like, that would be a kind of neat character. He has no superpowers other than he has more time than you do.
So he's got time to catch you while you're sleeping, while you're messing around, passing out because you've been running from this guy for the last like 12 hours. That's right, when he catches you.
Yep. Yeah, he'll wear you down, man. Doesn't matter.
So are you purposely going against all type when you're making the stories for this character, or was it just like, this is a great idea, let me just run with it? Like, if you ever see something anywhere, you're like, okay, I'm purposely not going to do this. I'm going to go completely opposite direction.
It's more of I had like a loose idea for the story of what I wanted to tell. I'm sure there's some things where, as I was writing it, I you know, because it's based, supposedly based in the real world, I didn't want to kind of fall into easy outs. Like everything that happens in the story, I tried to make it make sense. Where it's like, because the guy has no powers, because he, except, you know, he can't sleep, and this is supposedly real, it's like, how would he get out of the situation? Actually, one of the hardest times I had with the whole story is in one of the issues, somebody he knows gets kidnapped, and he has to save them, and he has to break into a building in the middle of the night in, like, New York City, and I just kind of sat there thinking, like, okay, if this actually happened in real life, and I had to break into this building without alerting the cops, you know, the bad guy's in there, he's waiting for me, but I have to kind of be sort of stealthy. It's like, how would one go about doing this? So there wasn't really anything that I tried to stay away, like, to find similar situations in other comics and be like, oh, I can't do that idea. It's more of just trying to figure out, okay, if it's real, like, logically, what would the next step be? Okay, he's a real guy, he's making a big splash, and he's caught the attention of the supervillain, well, not in the comic sense, like, well, rather than the supervillain plan a big heist, like, what would he do? Oh, he would probably go after the guy's family, because that's his weak spot, because in the real world, no one messes with, you know, the big guy in the city.
So, what is the logic behind making it, quote-unquote, real? I mean, is that just a conscious decision, or are you like, all right, so, in everyday life, I want to try to make this as appealing to the masses as possible?
It's more that If I was going to have a character that didn't have a superpower other than he didn't have to sleep, I figured I'd have two ways to go with it. I either go put it in the real world, and then he's the abnormal one, just enough to make him stand out and potentially, you know, be better, rise above everybody because he's got a little quirk. Or if I put it in a comic book universe, then he's going to go against people infinitely more powerful than himself. And he's going to have to outwit them, and, you know, that way, like, how would his power let him do that the other ones can't? Like, how is this guy, just because you can't sleep, how do you beat Superman? So it just sort of came down to what, for me, what's the more interesting story to tell. And while that's certainly a cool way to take it, I kind of wanted to do the other one where it's like, let's make him a normal guy, let's give him real-world problems, and then this is what starts to be, like, a fun situation kind of turns dark pretty quickly.
So you mentioned how you had the comic idea, you were going to make the comic out for the Comic-Con, and everything just kind of went pfft. What advice can you give out to other startup companies that are doing the same thing so that way that doesn't happen to them?
Oh, sure. While I'm doing Nod the Animated Series, I'm actually starting a third series called Cryptids about a Scottish professor who hunts monsters. And then on top of that, I just completed a Kickstarter campaign to do a graphic novel that's tentatively called Stitches, but that name's already taken, so it's going to be different. That's kind of about Asian mythology. But I only mention this because in basically most of these projects, it's like I had the idea first. I came with a concept. I wrote the script. I knew what I wanted to get, and then you just had to find people who want to work with you. So my advice for, like, another startup company is whether you're a writer or an artist, a lot of the times, you know, you're never going to find somebody who, or it's going to be very hard to find somebody who will work for free. Luckily, I've made some amazing friends through the comic convention, through online sources and stuff, who when I pitch the idea, they love it, and we kind of all band together. And yes, and I have to kind of learn how to distance myself to the project. So I thought of it, but I can't be like, oh, it's my baby, because part of the deal of working with them is, you know, they're doing it at their free time too. We all have day jobs, so it's like, well, how can I make it appealing for them? I can't be a slave driver to say, hey, do it exactly like I say it is, or else they would just pick up and leave. I mean, that's not what happened with the first book, but it just kind of shows that, you know, it's so much easier to just leave a project when there's nothing really involved. I mean, you get busy, you can just say, hey, sorry, and back out and disappear. So kind of finding people online through like DeviantArt or Z-Wall or something, or a place where you're going to find like those like-minded people who are interested in doing a book is a great start. And start small. I mean, I made the other mistake where Nod's a 6-issue series. So pitching that to somebody out of the blue to say, hey, do you want to work for free for me on this project I made? Oh, and by the way, it's 6 issues. It's kind of overwhelming. I mean, luckily I met people later who they love it. We've been doing it slowly. But, I mean, the first issue of Nod took 7 months to make. It's a 24-page comic. You know, it just takes a while to put it all together. So eventually now, as I do more and more of it, that's why I started doing the Kickstarter thing, so I can raise money to pay somebody professionally to make it happen quickly. But if you're on your own and you're just kind of doing it in your own free time because it's a passion, like that's what I was doing, then the best thing you can do is just kind of develop a tough skin, be sociable, be friendly with people, protect your work because you don't want to ever get ripped off or something, but then be understanding with other people's deadlines and their schedules and be open for their input.
So why do it then? Because it just, I think I understand. I think I know the answer to that question. But
you know,
just to hear you say it, you know, because it just sounds like, such a hassle. And I mean, everybody, I mean, even the layman knows now that comic books can be a thankless endeavor, you know, it's just, yeah. So why do it?
Well, other than I'm probably a masochist, honestly, it's because it's a passion. I do it because I love it. And if it's something I wanted to do my entire life, and if I didn't do it, I don't think I'd be happy. I mean, honestly, the whole reason I even started was, since I've been reading for so long, collecting for so long, I interned at Devil's Due Publishing when I was in college, which at the time, it was like the fifth largest comic publisher, yeah. But it's since gone under and everything. But so I'm still friends with guys who used to work there. And I eventually went to them one day and it's like, okay, fine. What do I have to do what you do? Like, I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines. Like, how do I get to do this? And they just kind of gave me the rundown of just sort of like how to put a comic together, how to approach people. And now it's just, I do it because it's a pain putting it together. And sometimes you do have to wait a while to get that page. But when that comes in, when you see that work, that's like you have direct input on that, and you're like, I've made this, there's just no better feeling in the world.
Oh, all right. Well, that works for me.
So no, don't join the military, basically.
Yeah. So well, that was that's a much better answer than some of the others we've been given to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, someone's like, kill yourself, you know, just don't, you know, or the other reaction is don't, you know, I know, right. I know you like it, but just don't do it. However wonderful it looks, but it does seem like I've been involved with it in one capacity or another for pretty much forever. And, it's really funny. I don't know if you'll agree or not. It's funny that no matter all the all the crazy stuff that happens to you on the way to getting there, and all the insanity that comes with actually having a product and then trying to sell it, or trying, you know, going to one of those conventions and surfing the artist alleys and seeing how much everybody, you know, is pretty much different skill levels, but pretty much thinking the same way you do, you know. And something, for some reason, the actual medium of comic books, nothing ever tarnishes it. It's all the other craziness that goes on, you know, all the satellite stuff that goes on around trying to produce a comic book. But the actual you know,
making
medium, the actual medium is still, you know, it's still just majestic in some kind of way, you know?
Well, it's interesting, too, because I've definitely noticed that. And talking to some of the guys who, that is their job, they're lucky enough that they can support themselves full-time on just comic work, and talking to them, like, how do you break in? I mean, nowadays, self-publishing or putting something online is sort of the way to do it, because that's sort of your resume to prove to the companies that, you know, if you're a writer or something, right. That's how to prove to them that you know what you're doing, because no one wants to read a script anymore. So yeah. With that said, you know, I'm making these comics. It's something I'm doing. It's out of my home. It's fun. And I'll go to these conventions, and I see everybody kind of doing the same thing. And I'll see people I recognize, I'm not friends with, big names, you know, who do work in comics, who walk by, and we'll pick up a book, and it's like, yeah, okay, this guy works at Marvel, but they appreciate what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, you know, forget competing for jobs or companies. It's like, we all love comics. The fact that, you know, me, you, everybody, it's like you're still pushing that forward while everybody else, like you were saying, on the peripheral was like doing what they can to destroy it. Yeah. It's like we all, you know, we're on a sinking ship, but we're all friends on this ship.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But I think there's the problem with us is that it's such a beautiful thing, you know, when it's, you know, even if it's done badly, you know, like even a bad comic is very, in a really just childish way. And I don't disparage it at all. It's in a really just childish way. It's just really beautiful in its own way. And I think we're all trying to achieve that level of majesty or something. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it just, no, really, it's just, cause I, as a, while I'm listening to him, you know, explain how he went about all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, I've been through that. I've been through that. I've been through that. And it never sounds good on paper. You know, when someone's you know, telling the story about how they got to where they're going, it never sounds like a fun journey.
Like, this guy gave me a bag of $1 million to make a comic. It's never like that.
It's never one of those. It's like, yeah, well, one day I was walking down Madison Avenue and a paper bag, you know, like a plastic bag full of money fell on me and I decided to make a comic book.
Well, you know, me not being familiar with the comic book genre, I mean, I have learned from being on this show that you guys are the elite forces. You guys are the last art form. And, what you guys do, what you guys generate is amazing. And every time we interview somebody, it comes out to the same answer, labor of love.
Yeah.
They'll always
say. It has to be.
And you could see that in the artwork. Like you said, like Hassan said, even if it's a bad one, you still see the beauty in it.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I'm an admirer of you and everybody else who just, you know, is doing it all by themselves, you know, just out of a dream. You know, you must have been around, you know, these guys, you know, if you knew the guys from Devil's Due, so you know all the pitfalls and the perils of just even getting into the ring, and you still asking questions and still trying to figure out how to get in there to for all intents and purposes, just to get bloody. Right. You know, on right. your own. So, yeah, you know.
At this point, it's like I would rather go through the trenches, make something, have it turn out to be subpar or even wrong, but have a product to say yes. You know, we took it from idea to completion. Right. Because something else that I never really even put into like perspective when I was reading these things, you know, years ago before I started making them. It's just how much time it takes to make a comic. I mean, you can read a comic book, say, for 10 minutes. I mean, maybe 15 if you really stop and admire the art. I mean, you go through and it's, I mean, they're gorgeous. Like, I love the serial storytelling. I love the way they kind of flow from page to page. I love the style. But, I mean, the amount of people it took just to make that one 22-page book is, like, staggering. I mean, we run these problems a lot now doing it on our own where it's like, okay, well, how invested do you get in the product from the start? I mean, you find a guy who wants to draw it short. Okay, well then, is he going to ink it too? Well, maybe. Let's see what time's going to be. So we got to find an inker now. And it's like, well, now I want it to be colored. We got to find a colorist. And it's like, you got to find all these people to say stack up. But then when it comes together, it's like, that's better than anything we can make individually. And it's a neat thing.
And then there's the question of quality, because you can have a really great penciler and have a terrible inker. and it's ruined, you know, or you can have a great pencil and inker and you're going to have a mediocre colorist, you know, and it's just like, well, it could have been better, but, you know, so it's just, there's so many ways to die. There's so, you know, it's 8 million ways to die doing comic books. But when it comes out and you have that finished product, it is absolutely something else.
And that's actually something else. Maybe I can mention to anybody else who wants to wade into this arena, trying it for the first time, is that when you are you're talking with other people and they're putting this thing together, a lot of times you are dealing with other amateurs, people who are doing it as a passion, and because of that, everyone's very protective of their work. So whether the penciler and inker, you know, good or bad, sometimes just the styles don't mesh because it's two different people who aren't used to seeing, you know, like if I draw it, I'm not used to seeing my work inked by somebody else. So just kind of being open with everybody, upfront with everybody, and just kind of including everybody in the project, I've found makes it easy. Where I've had pencils come to me, just kind of upset at first, saying, "I really don't like what they're doing to my stuff." And it's like, okay, well, what's wrong? What are they doing? Like, explain it to me, so then I can see it, and then we just kind of put everybody in contact, and then we all work together. It's like, oh, look, now that was easy. Now we can fix it. Now it's great. Everybody's happy.
So
it's just stuff you have to address.
So we have less than a minute to go. So Dan, I want you to promote all the websites, everything. It's your time right now.
Okay. You can find everything at www.nodcomics.com. That's nodcomics.com. We have updates for future issues of Nod. We do the webcomic Nod the Animated Series every Monday. It's up there for free. We have this thing that I could mention, Cryptids. We'll have updates of that soon. The first issue should hopefully be out by August. And then the big Kickstarter campaign for a graphic novel, it was Stitches. It'll be something else soon. We'll be all there as well, and that's going to be a giant deal. But basically, if you go to nodcomics.com, it won't steer you wrong, and you can keep up with everything we do.
Dan, I really appreciate you being here. I read the book. It was great. That's why I had you on the show. So once again, it was great meeting you, and I appreciate having to read the book and then having you on the show. So we're just about done for the show. So that about does it this week on A Cane from the Radio. Join us right here and every week on Wednesday night. If you miss any show, you can go to our website, www.canefromtheradio.com, and we'll be archives will be up in a week or so. Yeah. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.